Hello everybody, this is the translation of Lucy Bardieu's message for Sunday the 12th of March. The life of the disciples with Jesus. The life of the disciples of Jesus. The Gospel of Mark is the shortest of the four, the most dense, but at the same time there are many details about the life of the disciples with Jesus. In chapter 1, Mark describes the call of the first disciples, the fishermen. First Simon and his brother Andrew, then John and James, the sons of Zebedee. Where does he call them? At their place of work. It is noted that Simon and Andrew dropped their nets, which they were busy repairing, while John and James left their boat, leaving their father Zebedee and his workers in the lurch. Jesus calls them to the shore of Lake Galilee, very close to the city of Capernaum. He is going to teach there in the synagogue. There he healed a man who had an unclean spirit. He healed Simon's mother-in-law, and soon the sick were brought in, demoniac, to such an extent that Jesus left Capernaum and went to the surrounding towns, and then he went to preach in the synagogue of Galilee. One day a leper kneeled before Jesus, asking him to heal him. One more miracle. What does Jesus do? We read in Mark chapter 1, verses 44 and 45. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Here, we are only at the end of the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. We read that Jesus is already very popular and he has little room left for his private life. He is obliged to go into hiding if he wants to have a little time for himself, to eat or to pray. And yet, he does not always succeed. We read in Mark chapter 6, verses 31 to 33. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Now, did you notice how Jesus moves around with his disciples? In a boat, because they often find themselves at home, an expression that Mark uses to indicate the place where Jesus had the most ties at this time of his earthly ministry, in Capernaum, an important city on the shores of Lake Galilee. A lot is happening around this lake. Mark often talks about it. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. At least in the boat, Jesus had room, and given the distance, his voice carried much better than if he had remained in the middle of the crowd. Do you see how the words lake and boat come back? Already in the call of the first disciples. A lake, a boat, crossing the lake by boat. It can make you smile. You may be thinking of a lake where you spent a vacation. But the lake, for the inhabitants of Israel, this Hebrew people, what did it mean? Already Mark literally uses the word sea, the Sea of Galilee. Thalassa. In this he follows the authors of the Old Testament. What was the meaning of the sea for these authors of the time? The sea carried a lot of symbolism at the time of the Old Testament and of antiquity more generally. Firstly, the sea has a rather bad reputation, as for example in Homer's Odyssey. It symbolises misfortune and the negative powers that swallow up the hopes of humans. In the Old Testament, the sea was something unfathomable, unpredictable, perilous, indomitable. Sometimes it symbolised a divine judgment, as in the flood, the waters that invade the earth, or in the story of the prophet Jonah, who was swallowed up by the sea. Secondly, in some texts, the sea acts as a border, up to there and no further. In Numbers chapter 34, 1-2, we read, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Command the Israelites and say to them, when you enter Canaan, the land that will be allotted to you as an inheritance is to have these boundaries.'" I'm not going to read you all this passage that goes up to verse 12, but it talks about the Dead Sea, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Sea of Gennesaret. These are the limits of their territory. And precisely, the Sea of Gennesaret is another name for Lake Galilee. The sea is a border, a limit. But finally, thirdly, the sea has yet another symbolic meaning. It symbolises the passage, the crossing, from one world to another, or from one state to another. And it is above all in this sense that the sea plays such an important role in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus often crosses the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. He does not stay in one place, he makes himself available in various places. And the crossing is always with the help of a boat. What does the boat mean? At the call of John and James, sons of Zebedee, the boat was the thing to abandon, to follow Jesus, their father's boat. Later, they will often be in the boat with Jesus, but it is no longer the same boat. In turn, the boat becomes an indication of a limit or a membership. For John and James, it is no longer the boat of their father Zebedee, but the boat of the Lord. The boat becomes like the delimitation of a group, Jesus and his disciples. The boat distinguishes between those inside and those outside, the disciples and the crowds. I would like to look at three of these crossings of the lake with you, found in chapters 4-8 of Mark, where some elements come back like a common thread. In chapter 4 of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus teaches the crowd from a boat. It is at this time that he tells the well-known parable of the seed falling in four types of terrain. Later, the disciples find themselves alone with Jesus, and he is going to explain the parable to them. Mark chapter 4, verses 10-11. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables." Mark sums it up himself in verses 33-34. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." You know what happens during this first crossing. Jesus sleeps in the boat while a violent wind began to blow. Waves were thrown into the boat, which began to take on water. The disciples are going to wake up the master by shouting. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Ah, those poor disciples, they are afraid. First, they were afraid for their lives because of the storm. But once this calmed down, they felt a great fear. Who is the one with whom we embarked? The crossing makes them wonder about the identity of Jesus. They've known him for some time, of course, but they don't yet understand who he really is. There are still other paths to cross, from ignorance to understanding. Finally, the boats arrive on the other side of the lake. The lake, or the sea, fulfills its role as a border here. They left from west to east, from a region populated mainly by Jews to a land populated by pagans. As proof, this is where there is a herd of pigs, animals deemed unclean by the law of Moses. Jesus deliberately goes to a pagan region. It is an element of the life of the disciples. He must not remain always among those who believe like him, think like him, live like him. The disciple is called to cross a frontier, a limit. He is also called upon to weather the storm and may feel that his living conditions leave the master indifferent. Yet this is not so. During the Gospel of Mark, there are several times questions of crossing the lake. Also in chapter 4, verse 35. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." I will skip a few verses further. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes. There, Jesus will heal a possessed man who lived in the middle of the tombs. Jesus frees him from his demons, which he sends into a herd of pigs that throw themselves off the cliff into the Lake of Galilee. But here is the reaction of the population. In Mark chapter 5, verses 14 to 17, those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. And what does Jesus do? Verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. A second crossing account is found in chapter 6, verses 45 to 52. This is after Jesus said to his disciples, "Come on, let's go to a quieter place." But the crowds understood where he was going, and we have already read it today. And they ran so fast that they were on the other side before the boat landed there. Jesus is again facing the crowd. He is going to teach them. Then it is getting late. The disciples realize this and tell the master to send the crowd away. This is where Jesus said to them, "You give them something to eat." It is after the first multiplication of the loaves that we can read the story of the second crossing. In a Jewish region, starting with 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus feeds the crowd and the disciples pick up 12 baskets of leftovers. Mark chapter 6, verses 45 to 53. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. Earlier, I was telling you about the image of the lake, which reminds us of our holidays, trips on the water. Here, the disciples have already experienced two dramas on the water. The lake is not so peaceful. Yet they are fishermen, seasoned navigators. I looked into it. Due to the low altitude of the Sea of Galilee, the air is much warmer there than in the surrounding mountains or plateaus. This results in atmospheric disturbances. In addition, strong winds rush into the Jordan Valley from the snow-capped Mount Hermon, which lies not far to the north. This explains the sometimes turbulent crossings. The second crossing is similar but also different from the previous one. Jesus made his disciples get into the boat while he was going to isolate himself to pray. The disciples are alone this time. The first time Jesus was with them, but he was sleeping. Here, too, a strong wind is rising. It is a headwind which makes them lose a lot of time and which will even cause them to drift. They left to reach Bethsaida, northeast of the lake, but they will land in the region of Gennesaret on the west shore. This crossing will be a failure, setting out to a place that they do not reach. This time, too, they are afraid. Not afraid of dying because of the headwind, but afraid because they think they see a ghost. It is Jesus who walks on water, and this time too, after calm has returned, there are reproaches for the disciples. During the first crossing, it was still gentle. Mark chapter 4, verse 40. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" But here Mark goes much further and writes, in Mark chapter 6, verses 51 and 52. Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves, and their hearts were hardened. The first time, they wonder who this Jesus is with whom they embarked. The second time, they don't recognize him, but believe they see a ghost. And the failure is not only the fact that they did not reach the right place, but especially that they did not understand what was revealed in the multiplication of the loaves. Their intelligence is incapable of grasping its meaning. Other translations literally say that their hearts were hardened. Also, just before the first crossing, it is the crowd that does not understand. Jesus speaks in parables. Here it is the disciples who do not understand. Yet they have been with Jesus longer. They have seen and experienced miracles. They were making progress. And now it's failure and misunderstanding. The life of the disciple is not a long, calm river. Failure and regression are not excluded. Would it be the same for us? But life goes on. Jesus with his disciples continue to travel through the region, occasionally going to other regions. This is still the case just before the third crossing. Mark chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat." This is where the second multiplication of the loaves will take place, starting with 7 loaves and some small fish, and they pick up 7 baskets of leftovers. 2 details in passing. The first multiplication in Jewish land, 12 baskets left over. The second, here, east of the Sea of Galilee, in heathen territory, 7 baskets left. What is the meaning? Jesus does not only want to feed or take care of the Jews, but also the Gentiles. The 12 leftover baskets refer to the 12 tribes of Israel. The remaining 7 baskets use the symbolic number 7 to indicate the nations. In the Gospels, we observe that Jesus did not come only for the Jews. He works miracles also in pagan countries. Just after this second multiplication of the loaves, Pharisees and scribes arrive and start a discussion with Jesus about the Jewish laws, because they observe that the disciples of Jesus ate their bread with impure hands, that is to say, unwashed. Jesus will tell them that it is not what man eats that makes him unclean, but what comes out of a man makes him unclean. And a few verses later, Mark tells us about Jesus' encounter with a Greek woman born in Phoenicia in Syria. She asked Jesus to heal her daughter, possessed by an evil spirit. Jesus will tell this woman that one must first let the children eat their fill, and that it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. The woman will tell him that the little dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And Jesus responds to her request, her daughter will be healed. Again, the theme of bread. First the multiplications, then the discussion with the Pharisees, but also with this woman, foreign, pagan. Jesus goes first to his own, the Jews, but he does not exclude, not at all, the others. Jesus is the bread of life, not only for Jews, good religious people, but for everyone, without exception. In this third crossing, precisely, it will still be a question of bread. Mark chapter 8, verses 9 to 21. After the second multiplication of the loaves, what happens? About 4,000 were present. After he had sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus, to test him. They asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly I tell you, no sign will be given to it." Then he left them, got back into the boat and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" Not very glorious for these disciples, even after years already on board and on the way with Jesus. They have crossed lakes and storms. They distributed bread and picked up leftovers. However, they still have to understand, discover many other things. And us? We too embarked with Jesus. We left aside our nets, our own boat. With him we went through storms, life circumstances. It's not been easy. Sometimes Jesus seemed to sleep or pass by. But by his grace, we distributed bread, the gospel, even if it seemed to us that we didn't have much to give. In our discipleship, there are also failures. We have not understood the meaning of what God is doing in our life, and we may seem to miss a destination. But each time, again, Jesus goes back in the boat with his disciples and continues to cross the lake. So let's not leave the boat during the trip. Let's also accept that sometimes the Master tells us, "Have you still not understood?" He does not leave his disciples. He will not leave us, will not abandon us. And if it seems to us that there is no more bread, let us know that with little, the Master can accomplish great things. Let's take courage. Let's get back in the boat. Let's continue our crossing. In a few moments we are going to sing Either My Anchor or My Sail. But before that, I invite you to be silent and allow these few elements to become impregnated within you. the common thread in the life of the disciples, a boat, a lake, sometimes difficult crossings, and the greatest miracle that Jesus, the bread of life, never fails us. Spurgeon said, "Do not spend your life hungry, for as long as you live, there will be bread on the table of grace. Amen."